Aloha and welcome to The Conversation. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich. Policy changes in Washington could have implications for Hawaii in health care and Medicaid expansion under the ACA, and changes in Hawaii could bring a not-so-welcome reaction from Washington if, for example, an adequate financial solution to the rail deficit can't soon be found. U.S. Senator Mazie Hirono has long supported the rail project. She's en route home to Hawaii to hold two town meetings, one on Oahu and one on Kauai. We spoke yesterday while she was still in D.C., and I asked her how she's viewing the end of the legislative session, its standoff, and shakeup over rail.
Clearly, there are dynamics at the legislative level that they need to resolve. And what I've focused on regarding rail is to make sure that the federal funding is there for the federal share. And about an hour ago, I voted for the omnibus spending bill that completed the federal funding for the project. So that's the part that I focused on, and I think that the legislature and the city council and HART and the board and all those folks need to continue to try to work things out.
What happens, though, if in the event they really can't?
My view is that they will. You know, the governor's leadership and the mayor's leadership will need to very much step up, I would say.
Well, that's been said over and over again here, too, but the question of, and a lot of people are wondering, is how they can possibly see this project through if the federal government isn't convinced that Hawaii can actually pull through and complete the project. Is there anything that you see that hasn't happened that should have?
I think it's really hard for me to opine on the dynamics of the last few weeks and, in fact, coming up to today. So, as I said, I was focusing very much on making sure that the federal share is there. And yes, the FTA will continue their dialogue, particularly with the county, as to their plan. And then my hope is that we will be able to go forward in some fashion, because I do support rail.
At this point, when we're looking at so many different issues, a big one is health care.
Oh, yes.
As the House has just voted to be able to advance the repeal and replace, clearly that's going to be a very different situation when it gets to the Senate. What happens with you?
Well, first of all, what the latest iteration of the House is taking a bad bill, which couldn't even make it out of the House the first time, and if possible, they made it even worse in terms of the people who will be covered, in terms of the cost. I think there's some argument that this is going to lower insurance costs, but you can lower costs if you begin to restrict coverage. So, hey, my premiums would be really low if my health care only covered tonsillectomies, for example. So that's the kind of shibai that's going on in terms of people arguing for this bill. But the bottom line is that millions of people will be off the health care, and this will impact about 20,000 people who purchase insurance on our exchange. And then it'll also have a very negative impact on Medicaid coverage for about 100,000 people on Quest.
When this gets to the Senate, the situation may be very different than what we've just seen in the House.
It will be very different. One of the reasons is I believe that there are a number of Republican senators who are not prepared to vote for this. But in addition, we have different requirements for voting. And no matter what, how it proceeds, I think that there will be enough concerns raised that there's very little chance that this very bad Trump care bill out of the House will emerge intact out of the Senate, if it even emerges, because we do have a few other things that the Senate is wanting to address. And frankly, Beth Ann, I think it would be more worthwhile for us to move on things such as support for infrastructure, because we're way behind on infrastructure resources. That creates jobs. It would be long-term improvements to our infrastructure, and that's something that I think we can actually work in a bipartisan way, which includes the president.
With Hawaii, we understand that we've already put in a waiver that regardless of whatever happens, that we will be able to have the same standard of care that we've had with prepaid health care.
I think that Hawaii is way ahead of the rest of the country in that we've had prepaid health care in Hawaii for over 35 years or so. And I think that level of coverage, that we did not have an issue for those covered under prepaid health care with things like pre-existing conditions, et cetera. But we want to make sure that our prepaid health care stays intact. The state is pursuing various waivers to make sure that that happens.
As we only have you for a short time, I'm going to skip on, and I want to talk to you a little bit about North Korea. Clearly, people here are concerned about that. People across the United States are concerned about that. How concerned are you?
Of course we're concerned, but we had Admiral Harris, who is the Pacific Command, testify before the Senate Armed Services Committee last week. And one of the questions I asked him, of course, is Hawaii safe from attacks from North Korea? And he said, we have adequate protections right now. In fact, the places that are much more vulnerable, of course, to any reaction on the part of North Korea would be South Korea and Japan, and that would, of course, draw in the United States. It's very clear that we need to pursue strongly a diplomatic resolution of this situation, because any kind of military conflagration will result in a lot of deaths and a tremendous, it would be terrible. So diplomatic resolution must be pursued, and that includes China's involvement and support.
Admiral Harris also indicated that he would be in favor of having missile interceptors based in Hawaii. How about you?
Well, basically, you're talking about Aegis Ashore being operationalized on Kauai. We talked about radar capability, increasing that capability, and he says that that is a good way to go, and he doesn't want to go get ahead of some of the discussions and decision-making. But there is no question that we are all concerned about making sure that Hawaii is protected. The first line of defense in something like this, where miscalculation could lead to horrendous results, would be to pursue the diplomatic resolution.
And lastly, before we have to let you go, you recently introduced the Coral Reef Sustainability Through Innovation Act.
Yes.
How much attention do you think that's going to be able to get, given the climate that we see now in Congress?
We don't have an administration that is very much focused on science, and that's why I'm glad that scientists marched last week. Who heard of scientists marching, but that's a good thing. There's not a lot of focus on environmental protections and concerns by this administration, I admit. That just makes it even more important that there are those of us who will raise these concerns, and we will introduce bills and continue to push for the kind of responses, in this case, coral reef protection, because we know that our coral reefs are very critical to our habitat, our environment, tourism, all of that. It represents hundreds of millions of dollars to the state of Hawaii. And we want to promote innovative thinking about how we can decrease the damage to our coral reefs. So this is a bill that I introduced last Congress also that would provide incentives for big thinkers to come up with reef protection solutions, real solutions. So we will just keep on focusing our energies and making sure that people understand that this is happening, climate change deniers notwithstanding. I think it's just one of many battles that we have to fight. But I am having a town hall meeting this Saturday in both Oahu and Kauai. And so particularly for your listeners on Oahu, it's going to be at 10 a.m. on Saturday at Kaimiki High School. And for your listeners on Kauai, 3 p.m. Chief Iskamakaheli Middle School on Saturday, this Saturday. So people have a lot of concerns. There are a lot of engaged people all across our country who want to express their views on things like Betsy DeVos for Education Secretary, someone who doesn't even believe in public schools, Tom Price for Human Services, who wants to basically undo Medicare and privatize Social Security. So there are a lot of concerns that I know my constituents have and the people of Hawaii have, and this is a time for them to come and talk story with me at these town halls this Saturday.
Thank you so much for the attendance today.
Take care.
Mazie Hirono is a junior U.S. Senator for the state of Hawaii. Details about the two town hall meetings are on our Facebook page, The Conversation-Hawaii Public Radio.